T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Championship weekend, 4 o'clock kick Saturday afternoon, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Georgia and Alabama, SEC title game. We were talking earlier, Hugh and I were, about what is your, one concern if you're Georgia here, your biggest concern if you're Georgia, I think there's two different conversations here, Hugh. One is, what is your biggest concern, as far as winning that first and elusive national title, the first one since 1980. In terms of matchups and mentally, and not that these players think about. See, I think sometimes we as fans will put too much stock in stuff like that. When the players themselves, do you think anybody on the Georgia team is thinking, hey, this program hadn't won a title since 1980? Do you think they're thinking that?
I mean, they're being reminded of it. You got to think, though, John, these kids are around people that have probably been historic Georgia fans. And what I mean by that is they've been – or they've had family members that have been around this program forever. Athens just strikes me as that type of place, and they're going to hear history about past games that they probably weren't even born when things were going on, but they're going to hear about it, and they're going to be reminded of it, and people are going to tell them how important this season is. So it's one thing to be in a town where, people are telling you all the time how important this is, or how important you are, or how big this season is. You're not going to escape that at all.
We are taking your calls at 404-741-0929, asking you more about this matchup this year on Saturday between Georgia and Alabama. It's pretty obvious what Alabama's number one concern is, Hugh, and we'll get to INM and Mike in just a moment here. Alabama's number one concern, and we've seen it this year on multiple occasions. Saw it against A&M. We saw it against Auburn, is the ability of those two defenses to disrupt the Auburn offense and to get in the backfield and make life miserable for Bryce Young. And Georgia, yeah, that's the number one. That pass rush of Georgia is their number one concern.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I would think so. But, you've seen that offense, sputter at times, but then you see them score points. So, I think that they can score points, John. My biggest concern going into this game is Stetson Bennett. And the reason why I say that is this. That guy over there, Will Anderson Jr., that is getting compared to Derrick Thomas, they're going to do their damnedest. They're going to do their damnedest to try to put Stetson Bennett in situations where he's not comfortable. And what I mean by that is they're going to try to make him make throws that he's not comfortable making. That's your best way to try to win. Because everybody has said, now he has progressed as the week's gone on, but everybody talks about how, can he, if the game is put on his shoulders, can he come up big? And in the past, we've seen that has not been the case. Now, he's a different guy than he was last year. Right, that's a given. But that is a concern going into this game. If there's an opportunity, if there's a situation where he has to get the ball down the field or make some big plays for you, can he do it?
We go to Ian, who joins us this morning. Ian, welcome to the show. What's your biggest concern for Georgia in this game? Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. I don't really have any concerns, man. I think Georgia's going to win by 3 touchdowns. Hugh, I think that's pretty interesting to say about Stetson coming off. He just came off a 4-touchdown performance. I think he was like 12 for 15 for 4 touchdowns. dude's been nothing but money all season. I don't think he's going to be the problem. Wait, I don't think Georgia's going to have any problem, absolutely.
Listen, number one, let me say this. I'm not picking on Stetson Bennett, and they did just play Georgia Tech. What I'm saying is this, that this is a totally different defense. And just like I said, this guy, Will Anderson Jr., they're comparing him to Derek Thomas. That's all I'm saying. Listen, let me just say this, because I feel like when I'm giving analysis with this game, I don't want anybody to think I'm hating on Georgia. I'm not. I don't want it to come across like I'm hating. I'm just giving you some of the matchups, potential matchups that could be a problem, and some of the things that some of the pundits are saying. And that has been a question mark all season long. Hell, who we talk to every week? We talk to Mike Griffin every week, John. And he has said in previous weeks that he didn't know if Stetson Bennett was the guy. Stetson Bennett was the guy. He has moved off of that a little bit, and he said he has impressed him in the last couple of weeks, but that's still a factor going into this game. If I know Stetson Bennett potentially could have issues making certain throws, hell, that's what any defensive coordinator is going to do. They're going to make you make those throws that they don't think that you can make.
And I'm going to sort of echo what you said here in terms of Stetson Bennett, but with a little bit of a different spin. If I were a Georgia fan, my concern would be that Kirby Smart wouldn't make the call when Stetson is struggling to put JT Daniels in.
Yeah.
You know, that's the concern I have. You do have this. I mean, Stetson goes out there in the first couple three series and he's not able to move the ball. You put JT Daniels in, now you're going to loosen that defense up big time.
And think about like let me say it like this. Cause I don't want anybody to think that I'm picking on Stetson Bennett. But all year long, name me one game where your offense has had to bail your defense out.
Yeah, there isn't one.
Like, name me one game where you were in a shootout where your defense, like your offense, had to bail your defense out because they were matched up with an offense that could go toe to toe with them.
Yep, but there hasn't.
Or could score on them for that matter.
Right, correct.
So that's natural to think that way. I mean, so I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling you what it could potentially be, because that defense for Alabama is pretty good. They're pretty good. So they're going to get after you.
Mike is joining us from Riverdale. What's your number one concern, Mike, for the Georgia Dogs in this game?
Hey, fellas, how you doing, man?
How you doing?
My main concern is the chess match between Ty Monken and Nick Saban, man. I think and Kirby, too. I think the chess match between that situation on how he's supposed to manage that. You remember a couple years ago, man, we had Justin Fields in a punt situation, man, and I didn't know what he was thinking there. So I'm just looking at the chess match between them, man, and how they're going to deal with that defense. Thanks for having my call, man.
Well, isn't it interesting that, you know, and I take nothing away from what Stetson Bennett has done as quarterback at Georgia here. Look, Georgia's got to run the football, and we've seen that Alabama's vulnerable to the run. Florida ran it down their throats, and I think that's going to be, even without Jamarius Sawyer out there, that's going to be the game plan going in, is to get Zeus rolling and get Cook rolling and then try and go downhill with that running game. And certainly I understand that. Everybody understands that's exactly what. But if they can, if Alabama loads the box and does what you said, and I would do what you said, Hugh, if I were Alabama, I would load the box and try and make Stetson Bennett beat you, is that if Georgia is going to win this national title, it may be that the most important player eventually, by the time it's all said and done, is JT Daniels. I mean, he could come into this game, and if he does come into this game and leads them to a win, if that happens, then I think you got to start him.
Yeah,
not only that,
John. There are some Georgia fans that look at some of the moves that Coach Smart has made during big games. You know, we ain't forgot about that fake punt that he tried to run. I mean, so let me just say this first, because I know we're getting ready for the weekend, and Georgia fans are feeling good, and you know, I'm here to analyze stuff. I'm not here to hate, I'm just analyzing. But these are legit concerns. And when I come on this radio station and I give you what I think is going to happen, that's because that's what I get paid to do. So I don't want nobody to get mad at me and, you know, treat me like John Fricky treated me yesterday when I was talking about that whole Freddie Freeman thing.
Oh, man, I wasn't that harsh. You mean the way you treated me when I asked you about who you were rooting for between quitting and Swampers today? You know, that kind of thing?
It's amazing how you get in your fandom when somebody says something that you really ain't in line with. You really ain't in line with. What you mean? The kid threw four touchdowns last week. My bad, dog. I'm just saying. That, I'm going to start saying that, John. My bad, dog. I'm just saying. I'm just analyzing stuff. I'm just analyzing.
CJ's in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh on the morning show. Your biggest concern for Georgia in this game, CJ. Hey, welcome to the show, CJ.
How y'all doing? Hey, Hugh. How y'all doing?
What's going on, man?
My biggest concern, not much, bro. Take a little girl to school. My biggest concern is game day. Game day. Actual game day. You know what I'm saying? The nerves of the team. If they're going to be, you know what I'm saying, ready to go. And two, the secondary protection. Because, you know, even though we've beaten everybody and stuff like that by large numbers, you got to think about how these games start out. Games don't start out directly Georgia just dominate. Some teams actually get up on Georgia and Georgia comes back. So it's usually because of the secondary sometimes give up these long pass plays, making me get down there and try to get points. So my thing is the time of game day, because I know when I got to a sporting game in high school and stuff like that, you had jitters. So time of the game and secondary protection. That's all I got to say. Thanks.
You?
No, I agree, but I don't think I don't think that that's going to be a factor in this game. The one thing that I think Coach Smart has done a great job of this year is keeping his team focused. Now, let's remember, there's a lot of stuff that has happened with players getting in trouble for one reason or another during this run that they've been on that this team has been able to maintain their focus, and I don't think it's lost on this squad how magical this season is. And also the fact that it is not over. You got, what, three more games, if I'm doing my math correctly? Three more before you become national champion? Yeah. So you gotta get them games. You gotta get it, man. You gotta get it. Make it happen.
Jason Longshore around the corner. We'll talk to him about Atlanta United and about the Hawks, and the Man of Many podcast will be part of the program. Also in this hour, Roddy Jones, a former Tech star, about the state of Georgia Tech with transfers going on to that team, and how he views this run to the national title playoff. It's all ahead in this hour of the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jason Longshore is at Long Shoe, if you get the soccer reference, on the Twitter. He is an Atlanta United analyst. He's also a Hawks analyst, man of many podcasts. He's got Stoppage Time, which is highly popular Atlanta United podcast. And, of course, now No Swag Shop with the Atlanta Hawks, who win last night against Indiana on the road. Go to 12-10, jump up to the number 7 spot currently in the East, and we'll play Philadelphia at State Farm Arena tomorrow night. Tickets available at Hawks.com and Ticketmaster. And Jason Longshore joins us again this week, as he does every week, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wade Ford is Atlanta's Ford dealer. Jason, what up?
Jason.
What's up, guys?
Atlanta United made some moves yesterday, so what you think, man? What you think?
Yeah, I mean, not really any massive surprises because so much of the core of this team is locked up for multiple years. You had some options to decide on. And there were a couple that I think caught people by surprise. Kubo Torres' option was not picked up. Josh Bauer, a young defender, mostly played for Atlanta United too. Alec Cann is maybe the one that caught people by surprise because Ben Lundgaard was also not picked up with an option. So that leaves one goalkeeper on the roster right now. Now, something to keep in mind, Rocco Rios Novo is a young goalkeeper who spent the year with Atlanta United 2, was on loan from Lanús. He did play for the first team in CONCACAF.
Yeah, that one great game early in the year, right?
Yep, back in April he did because of Can's injury, Lungard's injury. Brad Guzan got the red card down in Costa Rica. And Rocco played very well. Now, there's a decision to make on Rocco because he was on loan here. He is an American citizen, was born in Los Angeles, but grew up in Argentina, and he's a part of Argentina's youth national teams. There would be a transfer fee to pay to Lanús, and for a goalkeeper, for a young goalkeeper, it's a reasonable number according to reports down there, anywhere between $2 and $4 million. He could be the goalkeeper of the future, but that's not next year. That might be 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road. Does Atlanta United go ahead and pull the trigger to bring him back, or Alec Can will be a free agent? Do they negotiate a new deal outside of the option that they declined? You can negotiate a new deal. Players re-sign with their original team in MLS at a pretty high rate, to be honest. So Alec Can could still be in the mix as well, but Rocco Rios Novo could be in the mix as well next year with the first team.
We're talking to Jason Longshore. We'll get into the Hawks just a moment. What do you expect from Pineda? We're hearing about, you know, Seattle is making moves. Is his experience in MLS going to lead him to be less dependent or less inclined, I guess is a better word, into going into South America and maybe more inclined than we've seen in the past to going into Major League Soccer for veterans in MLS to come in and fill roles that you might need in midfield or in other positions?
Yeah, I think where he's really interesting is as an assistant in Seattle, he was responsible for a lot of the scouting. So, you know, everybody knows the starters and the stars around MLS, but Gonzalo Pineda would know those guys who have maybe been behind a starter at a club and haven't had that opportunity and could break out, or somebody who could be a good locker room presence or a good guy to have on the training pitch who can start, you know, 8 to 10 games for you in a season and not come in expecting to be a starter. And I think you do have to look at Seattle's decisions. And they let a couple of veterans go, a couple of guys who have been in that system for a long time that could be a fit here because Gonzalo Pineda would know them and they would fit right in with everything he wants to do. So not everybody has announced their roster decisions yet. And this is going to be a process over the next few weeks where decisions are announced. There will be a trade window, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, right after MLS Cup, for 4 hours, where trades could be made. And I would not be shocked if Atlanta United was active during that window. Then the expansion draft, where Atlanta United could lose one player to Charlotte as they come into the league. And then free agency opens. You've got waiver drafts. You've got a reentry draft for players who didn't quite qualify for free agency. So lots of opportunities for movement within the league. But the one thing to keep in mind about Atlanta United is that decision yesterday and that roster that is now guys under contract for next year. You're 28, 30-man roster in MLS. There's only two spots right now that are available. We mentioned Alec Can. There's other guys that you could look at bringing in. There's rumors about players already coming in for next year. There's also rumors about players leaving. It's going to be in flux, but there's not a ton of spots right now to work with.
Well, before we move on to basketball, New York City and Real Salt Lake are still alive in the playoffs. Can you believe that?
I'm not as surprised with New York City, although the way it went down in New England, we'll get into that in a second. RSL, I'm shocked. I mean, RSL should not have gotten into the postseason. There was a very controversial referee decision on decision day in their match in Kansas City that the professional referees organization admitted they got wrong the next day. Would have led to a penalty and stoppage time for Kansas City before RSL scored a winner. RSL shouldn't have even gotten in. Then they go to Seattle. They have zero shots in the game. They hold on for 120 minutes. They win a penalty shootout. Now, they went to Kansas City, who has been at times the best team in the West, and they ran Kansas City off of their own field. They outplayed them. They dominated the game. They got a late winner. RSL's been really impressive, and I think Pablo Mastroeni, who's been the interim coach there after RSL's coach left to go be the assistant in Seattle, replacing Gonzalo Pineda, I think Mastroianni's going to get the job in RSL. They don't have an owner at the moment. They're trying to sell. The league's running the team. Makes a lot of sense to keep Mastroianni with the job he's doing. New York City went to New England and beat the best team in the league this season. Now, New England hadn't played a match in over 3 weeks, and it showed. They gave up an early goal. They never got into a rhythm. But Tati Castellanos, the golden goal winner, he gets the goal that puts them ahead 2-1. Then he also gets a red card, second yellow. So he's going to miss the conference final going into Philadelphia. So New York City getting here, I'm not shocked. Beating New England, I'm a little surprised. But the real winner out of all of that is Philadelphia. They get to host the Eastern Conference final now, and they get to face New York City, who has a bunch of injuries and is going to be missing their leading scorer.
Jason Longshore, man of many podcasts, as we mentioned. I think it's fair to say, Jason, Hawks win last night, that we can now start, if we wanted to, play the shorthanded card. They're down two starters for an extended period of time. So the Hawks are a little shorthanded, so they're really going to have to lean on Trey. Talked with the other day with Travis Schlenk about this, about, you know, it's okay when Trey takes over, and Trey takeover is going to have to happen now without Bogey and without Hunter, at least in the short term, I would think. And it took over last night, and Trey elevating his game to Eastern Conference Player of the Week status. Another big night last night, and now for the Hawks to win in this stretch until Bogey gets back, at least right around Christmas, I think Trey's going to have to put up a lot of 30s as he's been doing.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to need to get something from some unexpected players. You got it from TLC last night. You're going to need more of that from different guys off the bench. But Trey's going to have to be Ice Trey like we've seen lately. And, you know, Mike Conte tweeted it last night. I mean, I still wonder how Trae Young doesn't get the respect around this league that he deserves. There's one player in the top five in the league in points and assists. It's Trae Young. He can put this team on his back at times, and not just in getting those 30s, but also creating for others, because he's going to have to do both and bring other guys into the game right now. But they've been on a nice run. They're 8-2 in their last 10, but down a couple of guys. Yeah, Trey's going to have to step up, but he's going to have to get some help. And that help can be spread around a little bit, but he's going to have to get some other guys running with him.
Talking with Jason Longshore about the Hawks. All right, so where does that help come from? We've seen John Collins. Do me a favor. Assess John Collins with this new contract so far this year. What do you think?
He's lived up to it for me. I mean, I think John Collins has been what you need. You had to keep him. We talked about it so much in the lead up to that. I think you had to keep him to keep this group together. There wasn't going to be a replacement to go get this better. John Collins is fine. I think what you're going to need, it's not going to be one guy to step up. It can rotate. You're going to need Herter to have a game where he gets into the 20s, maybe. You're going to need some of these guys off the bench. You're going to need one of those games from Lou Williams where he's hitting everything and he's unconscious. You're going to need other guys at different times to step up. I don't think it has to be one guy. I think John is doing what John Collins does, and you got nothing to worry about there. But you're going to need points from other people at different points along this run where you're missing players.
Yeah, let's shift gears a little bit. UGA, Alabama Championship Weekend. What does Georgia have to do in your mind in order to win this game this weekend?
I don't think they have to do anything different. I think it comes down to that defense. And if that defense plays the way that they've played all year long, just don't give the ball away. Don't do dumb things. Don't have bad turnovers, you know. And Stetson Bennett hasn't been that kind of a player. The offense hasn't been risky and keeping other teams in the game. This defense, just ride them to a championship, I think. Alabama does have the big plays in them, and I think that's something maybe that Georgia hasn't had to deal with this season. Alabama can put up those big plays that can rock you a little bit. Think this team can handle it. I think Kirby can lead this team to do that, but just don't make it easy for Alabama. Make them work for it. And if they hit some big plays, don't get shocked. Don't get out of your rhythm. And Georgia just needs to play their game.
Where can the fans find you, Jason?
At Long Shoe on your social media platforms. And all the stuff I do with the station will end up on Facebook.com/929TheGame. And in your pod catchers, the soccer stuff is under the Off the Woodwork folder where you're looking for your podcast.
I appreciate it, as always, Jason. Thanks much. And we'll look forward to the big weekend ahead with the Hawks taking on Philadelphia tomorrow night. Thanks.
You're the man.
Thanks, y'all.
Right, Jason Longshore joining us on the morning show. I was just thinking about this, Hugh. Boy, there could be a lot of pressure on the Georgia wideouts. See how much Pickens can play, but, you know, Mitchell and Jackson and those guys, because they're going to load up against the run. They're going to load up against Bowers and Washington and the tight ends, try and take all that away from you. Those Georgia wideouts are going to have a big game. Roddy Jones is Georgia Tech guy and an ACC Network analyst. What does he think about the state of Georgia Tech football right now, the way the season ended and the transfers? What does he think of the national title picture? His thoughts on championship weekend ahead next with John and Hugh. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 The Game. Championship weekend. A lot of big high school football playoff games, semifinals tomorrow. So if you're playing in the high schools, and I know the scouts are going to be there in mass in all these games. You bet they are. And, of course, we got conference title games tomorrow night and into Saturday that we're keeping our eye on. Roddy Jones is a college football analyst, ACC Network, former Georgia Tech guy. And he joins us every week, talk a little college football. And, of course, about what's going on down in the flats there. And he joins us on the WayForward.com hotline. Hey, Roddy, what
Roddy.
Up?
Roddy!
John, Hugh, what's up, guys? Hope you're doing well.
Well, we're doing well. We're doing better than some of the folks over there at Georgia Tech are doing. Were you kind of surprised that Coach Collins didn't waste any time, you know, moving on from some of those coaches over there?
No, I wasn't surprised. You know, the reports that had leaked out, especially when Todd Stansberry came out and you know, said, hey, Coach Collins is our guy. He will be back. I think the reports that were leaking out that changes were going to be made on the back end meant that you had to make those changes pretty quickly. And with the coaching cycle that's going on, I know it's at the head coaching level, but all that stuff trickles down. There's movement amongst the assistant coaches, maybe more so than the head coaches. We just don't hear about it. So you had to make those decisions. You have to start to figure out and sort of go through your list of people who you like, who are available, who will take the job. And figure out where you go from there, especially because, like, recruits are going to want to know who's calling the plays, what kind of offense are you going to run. The other two dismissals and what's going to happen on defense is a little more secondary when it comes to recruiting, but certainly guys want to know who the position coach is going to be when they commit, or at least some assurances of sort of the style. So I was not surprised that it happened that quickly.
All righty, let's just get here. We'll cut to the chase. We like all the folks over there. I mean, they're wonderful people, but – and here's the but. 100-0. 100-0. You can fire all the assistants you want. You don't get a turnaround next year. 100-0, Roddy. I mean, they've got to – this is – Todd Stansberry can say all the letters about progress he wants. 100-0. I mean, that pressure is off the hook for him next year.
It's look, the fans are going to demand results next year. And look, we've been doing this show, or I've been coming on with you guys all season – and from the beginning of the year, I was trying to caution Tech fans that a bowl game is not – it's a stretch goal in 2021. Like, that is a – everything goes perfect. Nobody gets hurt. You have teams around you, have some injuries, have some stuff happen, and you win some games that you shouldn't. That was going to be the type of season that it took to get to 6 wins. I said it to you guys at the beginning of the year. I thought 3 or 4 was more likely. Well, they ended up with 3. Now, the way some of that happened was disappointing. 100-0 at the end of the year certainly shows the distance that Georgia Tech is right now from the top end of college football, that both of those – in neither one of those games did you have your starting quarterback. You had some injuries. That's not an excuse, because teams have had that before against Georgia and Notre Dame and scored points and maybe not given up as many. But I do think there is reason to just give a little bit of grace. I'm not saying a lot, but a little bit. And I think you saw that with Jeff Collins and the public statement backing him. But, yeah, look, next year, if you're a 3-win team, it's not going to be good amongst Tech fans. I mean, you saw the Georgia game. Everybody's talked a lot about it. But the truth of the matter is there's very few teams in the country that can put out the product that Georgia Tech was putting out this year and outsell or outshow up the number one team in the country when they're going to a place that's as close as Athens is to Atlanta. So Georgia Tech's one of those places. You got to put out a good team. When we had a good team in 2009 and we played Georgia at home, there were more Tech fans in that stadium than there were Georgia fans. So it'll happen if you put out a good product.
Boy, that is a diplomatic answer that I couldn't give. because I look around and say Georgia State's going to another bowl. Kennesaw State's playing in the second round of the playoffs. Georgia's the number one team in the nation, and who are you? I mean, yeah, okay. But Jahmyr Gibbs leaving, that is a big blow to this team on top of everything else, Roddy.
Yeah, it is. Look, Jahmyr Gibbs is I mean, there's no way about it. He's certainly the best offensive player that Georgia Tech has had since Demaryius Thomas and Jonathan Dwyer left. He may be the best overall player since that time. He may be more talented than those two guys, to be completely honest with you. So, yeah, it's a massive blow. And it's a massive blow when you had Georgia Tech, and rightfully so, campaigning for him to be an All-American. And then a few days after the season ends, he says he's transferring. I don't think it was unexpected. Like, this is the reality that you're living in. When you have guys that are going to be draft picks, and he will be a draft pick, and I would guess a top two-day draft pick, top three rounds. And he's thinking in his mind, look, I got a draft year coming up. I can't be on a three-win team where I'm not touching the ball but like 12 times a game, and some of those coming in the kick return game. I've got to be somewhere where maybe I'm not featured, but you got to get 15 impact touches on the offensive side of the football so that I can show my skills, so that I can be considered a first-round pick, because I think he's got the talent to be considered in the late first round with the skill set that he has, ability to catch the ball in the backfield. Everybody throws out the Alvin Kamara comparison and all the things that New Orleans can do with Alvin Kamara. Like, there's going to be a lot of teams around the country that are looking at guys like that and thinking, okay, I can see him slotting into our offense. So, yeah, it's a big blow. We'll see how they fill it. You know, I'm not going to go ahead and write off the fact that, hey, this is going to crush the offense next year, because, to be honest with you, the offense wasn't very good with him this year. So it may be sort of a committee-type deal where, because of an influx of talent in other places, a change in voice at the top, the offense ends up being better because of the sum of the parts, not because you lost the best player that you've had in probably 10 years.
All right, let's talk a little bit about championship games and what you expect this weekend. How do you look at Georgia-Alabama as a matchup, and who do you think is going to win and why?
It's obviously a heavyweight matchup. I'm really interested to see if Alabama can block Georgia up front. Obviously, what you saw from Auburn last year, what you've seen at multiple times this season, particularly with their struggles running the football, is alarming if you're an Alabama fan. And then on the opposite side, can Georgia run the football against this Alabama defense? This hasn't been a typical Alabama defense where nobody gets anything. Georgia's kind of had that, where the defense that we think about under Saban typically. But it is still a very good defense with a very, very disruptive player, one of the best defensive players in the country, in Will Anderson. So Georgia's ability to block Alabama in the run game, I think, is going to be is one of the keys to the game. Not saying that Stetson Bennett can't win it if they have to go to the air, but there's not going to be a receiver, maybe other than tight end Brock Bowers, it's not going to be a receiver that Alabama's afraid of. And Georgia threw the ball the second least number of times in the SEC this year. So if you get into that low-scoring game where both teams have an inability to run the football, who's the team that's going to be able to make plays through the air? Alabama's got Jamison Williams and Bryce Young. Georgia doesn't necessarily have that. So I think Georgia's going to have to be able to run the football, at least in spots effectively, to win the game. I think because of the defense, because of the what we've seen on the Alabama offensive line, I think Georgia wins the game. I think it's a fairly low-scoring game for what we've become accustomed to in college football. You know, kind of one of those games where first to 24 wins, which in today's day and age is considered low scoring.
I have another question out here, Roddy. As fans watch Pitt and Wake Forest to the degree that some people will watch it, maybe more Falcons fans ought to be interested in it. You see it a lot of quarterbacks this year. If the Falcons decide that this is the year, based on where they're at in the draft, to draft a quarterback, Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, Sam Hartman, Sam Howell, where would you go? Who do you think is Mac Jones like in terms of the fact that he can have an immediate impact on the team? Is it one of those guys? Is it somebody out west that the fans are? But if you're watching Kenny Pickett and Sam Hartman, are those guys both potentially guys that could lead NFL teams?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know about Sam Hartman, but certainly Kenny Pickett. And look, if you're putting me in the Falcons' shoes and asking me what you should do, you go away from the quarterback position.
Agreed.
Until you surround the quarterback position with the talent to succeed. The reason Mac Jones has been great, and you know, I didn't talk to you guys about it, but when everybody's asked who's going to be the best quarterback immediately coming out of the draft last year, Mac Jones was the easy answer because they are good around him. Everybody else is having to fight uphill, maybe with the exception of Trey Lance, and they've underachieved this year. But everybody else is going into a situation where they were going to have to carry the team, and a rookie quarterback's just not going to do that. So the Falcons need to surround whoever they go with at quarterback whenever they decide to move on from Matt Ryan. Need to surround him with talent so that you can have that type of success. That being said, just talking about Kenny Pickett, yes, I think the maturity that he's shown this year is going to really help an NFL franchise. He's got the arm strength. It's not the howitzer that like an Aaron Rodgers has, but he's got plenty of arm strength. He's got great mobility. He can throw on the run. I think his command of the offense and his leadership has really taken a big step the last two seasons. And just overall, like, the dude is a competitive, tough gamer. And I think that that what he's gone through in his career, he's not a one-hit wonder. He's a guy that's been through it, started a ton of games, seen a lot. So I think he certainly will be able to lead an NFL franchise at some point. But with the caveat, like, you got to surround him, just like any quarterback, with a supporting cast that can allow him to be successful, particularly early in his career.
Real Ready? Quick, who's your Heisman favorite?
I think it's got to be Bryce Young, but I don't think it's done. Like, if Bryce Young goes out and struggles against Georgia's defense, and Kenny Pickett goes and lights it up, I think Kenny Pickett should get a real shot at winning the Heisman. I really do.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I kind of lean in that way. Do you vote, Roddy?
No, I'm not important enough or big time enough to vote.
Okay,
so I've just got to go out and convince voters like yourself to vote for the guys that I think should win.
Roddy Jones, thanks, Roddy. Do appreciate
it. You're the man.
Yeah, guys, appreciate you.
Kenny Pickett could be a surprise, shocking Heisman winner. And look, Bryce Young, it's not over yet. I know he had that nice Heisman moment against Auburn, but if he doesn't move it against Georgia, the votes don't have to be until next Monday. So the Heisman voters are going to be watching these games. In the next hour, Will Carroll, our injury expert, going to join us, and we'll remind Hugh of what he's got to talk about in Hugh's world. Don't do it. We'll do that as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.